Blog Talk Radio.
Views, opinions, and statements made by callers are not necessarily the beliefs of the Professional Association of City Employees, PACE, the National Association of Government Employees, its officials, agents, or employees, the union. This show is for the purpose of airing opinions, concerns, and general commentary among PACE union members. The views expressed are solely those of the caller and do not automatically represent the policies, position, or view of the union and may not be construed as legal advice. Welcome, welcome, everyone, to Radio Connections with PACE. And I am your host, Gina Pagnotta-Murphy, President of PACE, and with me we have...
Your co-host, Debbie Walton, Vice President of PACE. How are you doing today, Gina?
Oh, I'm doing real good so far. I can't complain. Hey, if I complain, I'll be crazy. But I'm doing good. I'm on this side of the earth, and I'm praise the Lord. All the high powers that we're here, and I see you, Ebony. Listen, one good thing for the for you, the listeners out there, we got a good thing getting ready to happen. We might be going live next week, right?
That's
where
right.
You can see each other. You know, we can see each other.
We're working on it.
Oh, that's going to be so cool. I can't wait.
I'm a little nervous.
Well, hey.
I don't know. I want people to see me just yet.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, get your hair done. And that means I got to put on my red lipstick.
Yeah.
Again. Everybody say what I put on this red lipstick. I mean, business. I didn't know people noticed you that much, right?
Yes, I remember.
Yeah, all the time. They say, when I don't wear lipstick, then I'm okay. When I put that red lipstick on,
I mean business.
That's so cool.
That's how it is when I put my glasses on.
Oh, yeah.
I'm serious.
When I take them off, I'm not serious. You're not serious. Yeah, I see. You had your glasses on all morning. So.
Been serious mode all morning.
Well, I am so glad that we're in a good mood today because we still got a lot of stuff going on out there. And this pandemic is still going on out there. And we got people talking about they're having a lot of anxiety and depression. And it is just awful to hear the stories. And, you know, the good thing and the bad, it's a double-edged sword for me, Ebby, because I'm a union president. And the thing is that people call me and they tell me things about their personal stuff going on at night. I so many calls coming in, and I don't mind it. And then again, I do mind it, but they need a platform. And they need a vehicle to talk about because nobody can hear them. So this is why we, PACE, has come up with the platform.
Mm-hmm.
And Ebony, you're so good at this technology.
I'm working
and,
on it.
You know, I got to give kudos to you for being so good at this. And we're going to But in the meantime, this is a platform for all the employees. And especially our union members to call in to talk or just listen to what we got to say, what we're hearing, what's going on out there in the city of Atlanta. So let me just say about anxiety. I tell you, girl, I have anxiety 24. I got anxiety right now.
You talking about some of the elephants sitting on your chest.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, is this COVID? Wait a minute.
No.
I get the sweat. But, you know, we put a little laughter on it to try to ease the pain. But anxiety is a very serious situation. And if you go untreatable, it can get into worse things called panic attacks that gets into depression. And stress can cause it a lot, too. Stress from work, stress from home, stress from the pandemic. We have military veterans out there that work for the city that suffers with PTSD. And sadly to say, one of those military veterans that I have PTSD. I finally able to talk about a little bit. You military veterans out there, of course, reach out to VA when you're having these issues. But the pandemic brought this on. I realized I really was suffering from this. When we had the swine flu epidemic. And remember that the swine flu was to in the military, you had to take a shot. There was no choice about it. You had to walk down a little path and they shoot them on you on your arms and you get these shots. And I got real ill behind it. So now the vaccine coming up and it, you know, I'm kind of leery about it and I'm just mortified But well, you.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I took the vaccine. Now, I'm not going to lie, I was a little nervous because I'm afraid of needles.
How long ago was that you took
that
the vaccine?
That was about 2 weeks ago now.
That you took the vaccine, the first shot?
2 weeks ago.
Turn around, let me look at you. Okay, you're good. All right. I mean, so, not funny, but
no.
You know, we got to put some laughter.
Yeah, but I took the vaccine. It was fine, but then I just heard about the Hank. And I listened to another radio show, and they were saying that it's just, it was health issues for him. Like, I haven't had any issues outside of soreness of my arm, anything other than that. And it's not the vaccine. They're not giving you the COVID. It's these extra vitamins or proteins that they're putting into your body.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't had any reaction, like I said, outside of the soreness of my arm. That's been it. But I will tell you, with this stress, you remember in the beginning of the pandemic, I was always so crunk and gung-ho like, oh, it's going to be okay, Gina, just don't think about it. Well, now we
You're telling me.
Yeah, I was. I was in the beginning. But now we have had, in our center, 10 people currently right now that's out with COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And the issue that we're having, that the city has given us this equipment to clean, but we're not. That's not what we do. We don't know anything about cleaning and sterilizing, using this machine. Look like a Ghostbuster pack on you.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need them to continue to pay for the machine or for a cleaning crew that's professional to do this, since we still go inside the building every day. And we have 10 cases in 2 months. November, from what, December to now. This is January. 10 people are out with COVID. And the employees are like, what are they going to do about cleaning these pumps? And, you know, you remember coming into the center, and at the top they had all that, it's like the debris, this little black cloth or whatever. So whatever particles, so now all that's going in my mind. In other words, what I'm saying is you have a little bit of stress going into the job a little
so
bit.
So now I can... The anxiety that you were picking at me about it.
I didn't pick at you.
I said the less you think about it. Right.
Because that's the only way we can really make
it. But you're living it every day when you go to work.
Exactly.
So
I can't
think about it. So my thing is with cleaning this, I mean, there's really no answer. But even with vehicles and everything, I'm thinking maybe the city should look at, like we do when you go get your oil change.
Yes.
There should be a form of who cleaned it, what time,
exactly.
What date.
Yep.
Even in the vehicles, put a note on the windshield.
Yes.
Who cleaned it, what time, what date. So at least the employees, it got done, and people can be held accountable that does it to make sure they do it. And then the employees will feel a little bit more comfortable seeing that, okay, it has been done. It, you know,
so you think that it should be a professional job done or us inside?
Well, at this point, it's so expensive,
because people
are going out the roof because of COVID. Everything is in trouble. But I think it still should be professionally done.
Okay.
But because there's so much rapid going, what we may need to do is look into getting some employees or team or crew in the safety area and get them trained with to do that.
Okay.
Exactly. And I'm thinking that, you know, we need to do that instead of just, because I had a supervisor over at Howell Mill said I just go and spray.
No,
that's not what you need to do.
We did
But
that.
You can't do that if you're not trained.
No.
So these people are not being trained.
We did that when we had the outbreak in from December. So one of the supervisors went and put the ghost pack on and went to spraying while the employees were still in the center.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them had to leave.
Yeah.
And that's the chemical. They said it's not a problem with the chemical, but I have allergies bad. And I smelled it really bad. But you don't have carpet. So spraying on this hardwood floor with the employees in there, and we don't have where we can go to the other room to use the system because it doesn't, 911 doesn't go live in that other room.
Mm-hmm.
So the employees still have to be in there while they're deconning as well.
Well, and you see,
so
it's a little bit, it's a lot going on for 911, and that's so hard to be different from other departments or outside people, because you guys got to be there, and y'all got to be around each other.
Exactly.
You all share the same equipment 24 hours, 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to really come and think out of the box. The union needs to sit down, and we really need to come and think out the box and figure out how can we create an environment to be safer. It's got to be a way.
It has to be a way.
And because that's a lot of people.
It is.
And I heard in sanitation a lot of folks that's being out.
Now, do you know off the rip what are all the personnel, what departments are currently in the union or not even in the union? What departments currently are still reporting to work? How many? Do you know roughly?
Well, it's essential for all of us. All departments have essential workers.
Okay.
That we never really have officially, in my opinion, identified.
Okay.
But the department heads identify because you got folks working from home, teleworking.
Yes, exactly.
And then you got the essential folks that have to come in. They have to physically come into work. And then the administration has given them the additional monies that has been extended. But to my understanding, the comp time has stopped, but the additional money has continued. And I guess that's on a month-to-month or how we're going to move forward. But and then you got the folks at home that don't have a clue to what's going on.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for them, because some people saying that's the ones. So you got two categories the way I'm understanding. You got the folks that are home that are calling me that are having anxiety and depression because they don't know what's going on. They don't know what to do.
You're not around people.
Yeah. And you know, and so one or two say, well, they're getting a paycheck. But they're mentally incapacitated because they're used to working.
Exactly.
And we're talking almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
And they're used to working and they're afraid to come in now because they've been so home all the time. And then you got the distress, the anxiety of people that's actually coming in to work because they don't see what I'm hearing across the board is there's no protocol that's consistent. There's no processes that's consistent. There's no leadership that's being consistent on the same page. It's just a lot of stuff that's just not happening that, in my opinion, could be happening. And let me tell you why. Because some years ago in 2012, if I recall correctly, PACE helped birth what we call the Citywide Safety Committee.
All right.
And part of this, before we even thought about it, this is what came up was about when I was in the field working in public works. And before I moved to where I am now, I was actually in the field working. And we always thought, okay, when the tornadoes come or bad storms come or the winter, we out in the field and say a tornado happened to come up on us at the last minute and we don't know about it. People say, oh, we don't have that kind of weather, but yeah, we have had some experiences.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where do these people go? Where do these employees go that's in the field? Where's a fallout shelter at? Where do they run though? Where do they hide? What do they do? What's the protocol? Mm-hmm. There is none. If there is some, we don't know about it. And to this day, we still don't. Where are our fallout shelters? Do you know where your fallout shelter is? And I have not heard ever an alarm that go off, just even testing.
They need to.
Military people know, because people with military people, they hear that sound. That sound means a bomb is coming in.
Something.
Don't know where it's going to go. But the thing is, and this is why I said, okay, why can't I talk with the COO at that time? And I was like, we want to have a citywide safety committee. And part of that committee would have one, it would be mandatory, once a month meeting. And that person would have either the safety director, because every department has a safety team, either the safety director or their appointee, but we can't swap them out because it's going to be important information that needs to be vetted on, voted on, and disseminated. And so we would have a person from the legal team, a person from the HR team. We would have a committee see and hear everything going out. The union would be part of it and see and know and come up with ideas to fix the problems.
Exactly.
And then we would make that as a group. We would vet it, and then we would submit it to our liaison, to the administration. Here's the problem. Here's our recommendation. So we go out once it's approved or it needs to be legislated or a proposal done or PPBs made or whatever the case may be, then everything goes out and it would be in an executive order, it could be in legislation, but every department has the right protocol and process for everything.
What happened with that?
Well, we didn't ever get it up and running the way it's supposed to be. I don't know. Was it politics? Was it? I have no clue. We went to three executive directors. Some of the protocols changed. One of the ladies, because you know I was on the board, but I appointed my VP at the time, and she was removed because she had left the city. And then I got back on the board, and I'm the committee, rather. And I saw a lot of changes. I'm like, how did this get away from the bylaws and the Constitution that we created?
Mm-hmm.
What happened? So now that I'm involved again, I'm trying to get it back to where it was really birthed for to do. And since forth, we came up with the pandemic. If this committee had to been engaged in running the way that we had initially birthed it to run, I truly, truly believe we would have had a little bit more substance and grasp hold on the processes and protocols citywide on how to handle this pandemic.
Well, and you know, one thing with working for the city and a lot of corporate businesses that I've noticed is a lot of, they don't want to grasp the hold of something before it happens. They wait until after it
happens.
There you go.
Yes.
So it's no proactive. We just want to wait until after it happens, then we figure it out. I've never understood that. Just do it in the beginning before it happens so you'll be prepared for when it happens. Because
Abby, a lot of this stuff is political based. I hate to say that.
Yes.
Whenever you're working for any government entity, it's always politics. And the sad part about it is like being in the military. It's my way or no way. But one thing about the military, you better believe they got processes and a plan and action.
Exactly.
So you don't have anything to question. And you stay in the protocol. But when you don't have leaders that are open to suggestion or leaders that listens to the little people, it's a lot of people that we have had over the years, not saying now, but at least still some there, that does not accept suggestions or recommendations from people that doesn't have power or title behind it. Now, I'm not interested in title. Titles don't pay my bills. I'm not interested in power. Power doesn't pay my bills. What I'm interested in is keeping people safe, happy, morale building, boosting, and everything. So we have to grasp a hold, and we need to be at the table. Everybody or representative need to be at the table. Let's talk about this, just like today in the committee meeting. And not knocking my committee, because the committee, you know, it has to be led by somebody that knows what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But the committee, you know, we vet and make recommendations from what we hear in the field from the safety people.
Exactly.
And then make it to the administration. Let's sit down and talk. Okay, how can we do this? Will it cost the city money? If so, how much? How can we make that revenue?
Mm-hmm.
How can we go outside the box? Because we're talking about lives here.
Exactly.
You're talking about citizens that need work from these employees.
Yes.
Now, at the same heck, you know how I am. Mm-hmm. I'm about fairness. At the same time, the union will stick up for you and represent you. But then we need an employee that's going to be due diligence.
That's right.
Have good work ethic. Do what they're supposed to do. Be smart. Look out for your colleague as well as your family. And do your job that you paid to do.
Exactly.
So you got a double-edged sword. But how do you help a person that's afraid to get in a vehicle that they have to share with somebody that don't wear a mask,
mm-hmm.
and you wear a mask. And then I'm like, okay, I don't want to ride in this vehicle because you're not wearing a mask. The city can't mandate you to wear a mask. And they're saying it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't breathe in this mask. I don't care about this mask. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand why we can't get this as a PPE and not be performing as though this is a requirement of your job.
So now in our department, it's part of your uniform. That's kind of what it is become now. We've been doing this almost a year. So it's become your uniform. Wear your mask for the safety, not just of you, but your coworkers that work so closely around you as well. We have to. So you think that maybe if they mandated it, or it's still repercussions behind it still, correct?
Well, they were discussing, there was a gentleman in the meeting today that was discussing it about, it's a OSHA. If we do that, there's things about OSHA that we need to follow. But my concern with all of this is we have yet been required to follow OSHA. Because I remember back in the day when we were fighting, I don't like to say fighting, excuse that word, but lobbying or for people that was doing the asphalt, all those fumes and chemicals that they were breathing in, they didn't have masks. And we were trying to get masks. And then they said, oh, the city was saying, or the leaders at the time, we don't follow OSHA guidelines. So we, you know, we this and that. But now with this pandemic, you want to follow the OSHA guidelines.
It's convenient.
Where exactly, and you find that you follow the OSHA guideline, but you don't want to do the whole OSHA thing. So you can't pick and choose when you want to do it. Now, some of the departments I do know, and I'm going to give accolades to Public Works, not just because I'm in Public Works, but because we do have a commissioner that sees it the way I'm seeing it. And we're on the same thing. It's about saving lives. It's
That's
about
it.
Saving employees
That's
from being sick.
I don't
to get the job done that they're paid to do.
Exactly.
And so I don't get what nobody else gets.
I don't either.
And that's where my anxiety and stress comes from, because I'm wondering, am I just preaching to the choir till I turn blue in the face?
That's kind of what it is. You know, even in every department, not just yours, not just mine, but in every department, until they see that the union, the purpose of the union is to be the voice for those that have no voice,
exactly.
for those that can't speak, those that want to, this is the issues, but for whatever the reason of retaliation, whatever it may be, the union is going to be their voice for them. But in order for the union to be effective, the leaders of that department have to be in the same bed with Pace.
Well,
you have to.
You would think so.
Yeah, in order for it to run smooth. So I can use the example of our communications department. Before, we know how the administration, how it was with Pace and how it was just nothing clear, nothing set. It was just horrible. But now, once we had the previous director, Pritchett, there, she allowed her with the operations manager, Desiree Arnold, they allowed the union, Pace, to come in and, hey, what do you think? They brought Pace to the table.
Yes.
Once you bring Pace to the table, that's going to be the voice for both sides.
Yes.
On everything. And now what has happened since Pace has been brought to the table?
I'm proud to say that we lobbied hard enough that we were able to get you guys what you needed. You got more money.
More money.
And we're still getting you ready to be considered first responders. And
right.
we got new leadership at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're hoping going forward, we've already talked with your new leadership and looking forward to continuing that labor management group setting to talk about what's happening. Because not only does a lot of people, and I say a lot of people, but some leaders that come from, which surprisingly come from private sectors, because, you know, Georgia is not a unionized state, only certain aspects of it. But they come in, don't understand unions, and they don't want to deal with unions. Oh, you don't tell me how to run my department. You don't tell me, but you need to know. I'm not telling you how to run your department, but what I'm advising you to do is go by what the code and legislation reads.
Because the union keeps a blanket across everything.
Of everything. It's already written in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
When you fail to do what you need to do as a leader, the first thing I think when you come in to be hired, with managers or department heads and all of that, the first thing, in my opinion, they need to do when they get that new employee handbook, it should be section 114, 528, rules and codes of disciplinary actions on how the city operates with employees. They need to know, because you know how we win cases? Because
they don't know.
And so we're going to challenge you when you're not doing what's by the code.
Mm-hmm.
At the same tip of the hat, though, understand, audience members out there, we about Pace is about fairness, because we are a universal union. We have managers and members that are not managers and supervisors in the same union. Up to grade 27, you can join Pace. And the thing is, when we have a supervisor manager at odds and they're in the same union, we try to negotiate between the two. You know what we find 99% out of the time when we talk to them before it gets to labor relations and grievances?
Mm-hmm.
Lack of communication.
That's all it is.
Personality and lack of communication.
That's
and all you got to do is just sit and listen to the other person and understand where they're coming from. The old cliche back in the day in the private sector, they've even changed some. Don't bring your troubles from home to work. You can't help it. You cannot, because now to get a good worker, you got to look at the whole person.
You do.
And I'm good at with my staff that I can tell each time they come in how their day went yesterday or last night by the expression on their face or the way they say good morning.
Mm-hmm. Even the way they walk or hold their hand. Right. Everything about them you can tell if you pay attention to them. Mm-hmm. So let's get back to this stress and throughout all of this. And we have quite a bit of callers on the line, and I'm really impressed. I am. So I would like for you guys, whatever you want to talk about, but we all want to know, how are you dealing with COVID, working from home, if you work from home, going into work, and whatever else that you have to deal with.
And one question I would like to know, if they feel comfortable with the mandated to wear masks.
That too. So we're going
to
go
to the lines and see if anybody wants to speak.
Okay, hold on one second. The phone will let you know that you're unmuted. Once it tells you you're unmuted, you can go ahead and speak. If you do not want to speak, then that's fine. We'll go on to the next caller, okay?
Just say mute, please.
Hold on one second.
Go ahead, caller.
Who do we have on the air?
This is Ben Martin. I'm just going to listen in this time. I appreciate the time y'all gave me to speak last week. I was just listening in. There's some good conversation already.
All right. Thank you for calling in. Okay, go to the next caller.
All right. Who do we have on the air? You want to speak?
Okay,
that's fine. Hold on. Okay, who do we have on the air?
You've been unmuted. Would you like to speak? Okay. Next. You've been unmuted. Would you like to speak? Okay, caller, you've been unmuted.
Wait.
You've been unmuted. Would you like to speak? Okay, we got quite a few callers in it. I guess they just listened. So I tell you what, if you would like to speak and you're on the air and would like to say something and speak, you can text me at 678-414-8982. That's six, or put it in the chat box and just say that you would like to speak and we'll click on your number.
And if you just want us to speak on something in particular, put it in the chat box and we'll address whatever that is that you want to speak about. If not, you can just continue to listen. So, again, with stress, what are you doing to decompress? I know you're working from home still. You're not, you've been out, a year?
Oh, God. I'm just recently started ad hocing a little bit. I don't like to say that word, but I sneak up on my staff. I just go in every now and then just to get me kind of, able to go in and get through whatever over my fear of going in.
Mm-hmm.
But the irony of it, when I wanted to start going back in now, we're starting to get COVID patients, people over at our location. Since March, we never really had anybody at Howell Mill location with COVID until a few months ago. And that's the time when I started wanting to go in and, start slowly getting back. And I'm like, I think I'll still stay at home and telework. But I do be with my team we do team meetings or I have my leaders that talk to me biweekly or every week, once a week, with the supervisors. And I talk with my team almost on a daily basis. So to keep them like, you're not by yourself, so don't get slacked up. But I'm blessed to have a pretty good team. They're doing their work. Their work ethics are good. And I wish I could just motivate everyone to do that. Because once we get that done, and you got a good team there and people that's working, this thing can work. And all that we're doing to lessen the anxiety. But let me say this. If you are experiencing anxiety, depression, stress, panic attacks, or anything fearful, please reach out to your EAP, the Employee Assistance Program with the city. Reach out to Blue Cross Blue Shield if you're a member of them. And definitely reach out to Kaiser. They have a wonderful behavioral health program. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. None of us have experienced anything like this before. you know, well, people, I can't tell you my age. I've been through a little, but never on this level.
Yeah. And this length of time.
And this length of time. And we're still not sure how long it's going to be, how it's going to be going. So if you're experiencing that, you're not alone. Remember, you're not alone. Contact whoever you need to contact. That's EAP again. And that's Blue Cross. Reach out to your private physician. Let them know you're having difficulty with depression, anxiety. They can gear you in the right direction. And if you're a member of Kaiser, call Kaiser and ask to speak with someone in behavioral health. They have wonderful programs. They have group sessions that you can talk with. So especially tell your colleagues that are at home, that don't telework, that don't come in, and they're depressed for being just at home. Please let them know to call in to get into a group or talk.
And if it gets any further, you feel like that's the end of the road for you, we do have a suicide hotline number. It's 1-800-273-8255. I've noticed that during this time, we've had a lot of uptake with our increase of suicide of our younger people. We've had a 13-year-old, I think a 16-year-old, they was able to talk the 13-year-old down. The 16-year-old actually jumped. And then we had a male that called in. His mother called in for him. He was in his mid-20s or 30s. But because he had COVID, he shot himself.
Oh, my God.
So it's real. This is, I remember in the beginning, we wasn't thinking that this COVID was real. It was only just geared to one race. Then all of a sudden it went across the board. Everybody was catching it, and then everybody died. I've lost at least 5 people that I know, whether it be family members or friends or workers, that has passed with the COVID virus. So
can you imagine the many folks that I be hearing, and I'm stressed out. I don't even want to hear it.
And you don't.
I don't get on Facebook anymore. Rarely.
You don't.
I don't get on the news anymore.
And the news is another thing that causes anxiety. It just increases your anxiety. The more you hear about it, cut the news off. Find other ways. You know, I'm looking for an acupuncturist right now so I can go to acupuncturist. But I also do my I work out still. I'm trying to get into the yoga.
Okay.
I want to do that. My mom does that, and she swears by it. So I would try it. But also going to get a massage, and I know, again, COVID, but we have to live with it. We can't live under a rock either.
You can also get some books out there. Look under Amazon, How to Handle Stress and Anxiety.
Exactly.
The book that you gave me some months ago, I forgot the name of it. I didn't bring it with me this time, but that helped me out. Write in a journal. You can use that to write in a journal. There's also some arts and crafts, if you artsy and crafty, called diamond painting. And I've been trying that, and it really helps when I'm in the mood to pull it out.
It does.
And it's very tedious, but it keeps my mind, and the outcome when you finish, you can frame it. Beautiful artwork.
Nice.
It's something new
to
start.
Some over here today.
Well, I'll bring it the next time, because I got so into it, I just bought about 4 or 5 of them off online, and it's very inexpensive.
Okay.
But it's very pretty, and it's time consuming, but that's what you want. Or you can read a book, or you can listen to your favorite music. But, you know, with me, even though I'm a musician and a singer, a lot of the music that I listen to or I hear songs bring me back to old memories. And I don't like old memories, you know, because we're already in a sad thing. But one thing that song that I like, and I just putting it out there, that sparks me up every time is Cisco Kid by War.
I don't know that.
Well, see, whatever.
No,
I can put down for crying, but when I hear Cisco Kid, I don't perk up. If all you listeners out there know anything about War, WAR, the group War, called Cisco Kid. Cisco Kid was a friend of mine. I love that song. But anyway, I love that. So, and anything by Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh, of course.
Anything by Earth, Wind, and Fire uplifts me too.
And a little gospel every now and then.
Yeah, definitely gospel.
Yeah, I like that too.
Definitely gospel, but that can put you in a place too.
It does, and it gives you a peace of mind.
Peace of mind.
It does.
And then they have these apps for the listeners out there called Mindfulness.
I know that one.
And then they have another one called Calm. C A L M. I use both of them. Well, Kaiser has Calm, if you're Kaiser, it's free,
mm-hmm.
and download the app. And the VA gives free mindfulness. So if you're a veteran, you can request to get that through the VA. But for those who don't have that capability, then you purchase it. It's not it's inexpensive
yeah.
online.
You can get
but
some off of Amazon. I purchased
mm-hmm.
a lot of things off Amazon. When the beginning of the pandemic, what I did was I brought into work some hand games, little a Rubik's Cube, things that you could just play with your hands, right? So I'm thinking when I saw it, I was like, oh, that looks like it would be something good.
Uh-huh.
But then it's kind of elementary. Don't worry about them chickens. So,
you got chickens hanging out at your back door?
Don't do that.
Oh, my God. It's a big, listen, this is a big chicken sitting on her porch. Let me tell you, if this was Thanksgiving, that chicken would be gone. Is that a rooster or a chicken?
Those are chickens. They
You're
are
raising
they,
chickens?
They just for the we get them for the eggs. We not that's not the
conversation. Wait a minute, you eat their eggs?
Yes.
Oh my God!
Listen, that's not a conversation.
But that's so cool. But anyway,
yes.
We had to laugh. I'm just sitting here in my peripheral. I see something moving. I look over. There's a big chicken walking on your gate. Get out of here! But anyway,
cool. I brought some hand games for the coworkers, and I put them all in the thing, and I was sanitizing at the end
mm-hmm.
of the night and let them play with that toy for that night.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it was all hand gadgets. And those employees had got to the point where, Ebony, did you bring the toys? Did you bring the toys? Because it really takes their mind away from what's really going on outside of the job, but what's actually going on too. You know, they have their call takers, but they deal with life. One of them, her grandparents, both of her grandparents had COVID.
Mm.
They're okay now, though. But, you know, it's just different things to do to keep your mind busy and not thinking. In the beginning, I used to have those palpitations
mm-hmm.
in the beginning, but
mm-hmm.
then I started not thinking about it and suppress it. I don't know if that's healthy or not. It works for me.
Well, that's anxiety,
yeah.
and that was on the rate for panic attacks.
Yeah,
right?
And I was able to meditate it out or whatever it out. Yeah, so whatever it was, it helped, and I don't have it anymore. But like I said, it's coming back a little just because we're getting these more cases, and as soon as you walk in the job, you're like, oh, my goodness. But then you're back at work, and you're working.
Right.
So you don't really have that time to just sit
and
think.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think, how do you feel about mask mandatory wearing?
I think it should be mandatory. I think also that if an employee tests positive, before they return to work, they need to retest negative. And
absolutely.
That needs to be known that they're
absolutely.
Tested negative by the department head. Because
absolutely.
I was just listening to the airlines. That's what they do.
Right.
So why we can't do it? They're coming back. We're coming back to a room full of people that they talk, they eat, all of this in one room. At
mm-hmm.
the end of the day, it's one room with doors. The doors are
mm-hmm.
open, but there's still rooms with a roof. It's
mm-hmm.
not a lot of ventilation. The windows are open.
Mm-hmm.
We need that.
And it's not like you all are staying there 24/7. See, like to my understanding, when Tyler Perry was doing his movie making,
exactly,
he had all of those tests. They test every week,
exactly,
and they had to stay on the property.
That was their family.
That was their family,
mm-hmm.
so they got through. And unfortunately for us, we can't do that. Everybody staying at their job site. But I'm thinking, don't know how much it costs at this point. Monetary money shouldn't matter, but we should be able to be tested, the essential workers, at least once a week. That's how I'm thinking.
Because you don't even know you can be COVID positive and not have symptoms.
And not have symptoms, but somebody else can catch it.
Exactly.
Because then again, once you do clean, disinfect the vehicles,
mm-hmm.
once you disinfect the buildings
mm-hmm.
or your rooms, there should be a pad somewhere that says who did it
and what time
they did it and
the next one coming up
and
it
should be right. And those employees should not be around when you're disinfecting them because it could cause some adverse reactions
yeah.
to people with allergies and stuff, even
that's
down true. To spraying the Lysol.
Yeah.
But we got to do something. Something is a bitter-edged sword here, one way or the other. You don't want the virus. Nobody wants it because we don't know how it would affect us. So
mm-hmm.
I don't want it.
I don't.
But the bottom line is, listeners out there, this is the mask wearing is going to be a very grueling political situation because I'm for the union is supporting mandating wearing masks,
mm-hmm.
Whatever we need to do. Some of the mechanics were saying they can't breathe the cloth,
yeah.
that paper that stuff saying, I get that, but understanding that the commissioner has actually been proactive and informed me that he's willing to look into something called a snipper or something. It's something that goes in between.
Because although
where,
you can't breathe with
right,
if you're not alive, you can't breathe at all.
You can't breathe at all.
So
he's looking at something to raise the mass from the where you can breathe and it's fitting.
And you know, I have one of those. It's a cup.
A cup.
And you
right, that's
hand,
what he was saying.
And it helps you to breathe a
and
little
he's
bit.
Looking at trying to purchase that
mm-hmm.
and mandate it. But I'm hearing some stuff that right now, because the governor has not mandated it, that the city is not following the rules of mandating that we have to wear, you have to wear masks. But at the same time, how do you handle an employee that don't want to work with another employee in that truck that won't wear a mask? So you got the two pros and cons.
Yeah.
So this is why some people are not wanting to come to work, or they're calling out sick, or they don't, you know, they're afraid. And we as a city have not, and I just believe true to my heart, we have not looked outside of the box. You know what I would do if I was in charge? This is what I would do.
What you would do?
You know what I would do?
What would you do?
I call the General of the United States Army. No offense, Navy people, no offense, Air Force people, but I would call the chemical warfare of the United States Army, have a meeting with them. How can we, what can we do?
Mm-hmm.
Get them to the table and let's talk about well, our essential workers out there. Because, you know, in military, they go out in the war, they have to deal with chemical warfare. So that would be somebody that would be at my table. And speaking of politics, mm-hmm. I've been getting some phone calls.
What's that?
And that phone call is about who's running for mayor.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
I didn't want to get involved with that, but I've heard that we have some people that's running for mayor.
Yes, we do.
Officially has, well, put in the paperwork.
Yes.
I don't know if there's been an official announcement out there yet there, but I do know that we're getting ready to go into elections coming
yes,
up this
are.
November for mayor and council people. And so we're going to keep our ears and eyes open and see which direction we want to go. Who's running for mayor, who's running for council, what seats. And, of course, you know, I'm getting a lot of calls already.
So who – you running around a question. You hadn't said who's
well,
running.
Well, I don't want
to – Miss Bottoms is rerunning, right?
I'm not sure because I don't really watch the news, remember.
Well, it's been said that she's supposed to be rerunning. She did accept another position with Biden. He offered her something, but it's part-time. And
oh,
she
okay.
should be able to still do this. But my concern with that is, you saw, I sent you the glimpse of the little clip of her allowing employees, they're going to try to do away with the drug test.
Oh, my gosh. And that, you know, and that reminds me, thank you, because I'm supposed to get the legislation
exactly.
with that. I reached out to President Moore, and she sent me the, thank you for doing that for me, to
mm-hmm.
get the legislation
mm-hmm.
to read what was her rationale on that.
Did you find out the rationale?
And I'm going to try to speak tomorrow. I may not be able to get in, but try to get on the line, because, you know, I'm an in-your-face person.
Yeah,
so all
yeah.
of this calling online and stuff, I like to see you.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to find out what's her rationale, because I do know there's some issues in sanitation that workers are either they're overabundant with a lot of work, or they just don't want to work, or I don't know, because I really have not been engaged. We only have a few folks in that sanitation
mm-hmm.
group, but I'm ready to, you know, because I've been getting a lot of calls from some people over there. One of our main stewards over at Chester Avenue
mm-hmm.
Is in sanitation, and he's been crying to me left and right. We need to get some help with what's going
on
over there.
So let me ask you, because what I'm thinking is maybe she meant, or the drug of the choice is the marijuana. Maybe that's what she's meaning.
Well, because marijuana might
yeah,
be legal per
that
se.
Might be. That might be the one she's referring to, but she didn't specify. She just said
that's why we need to see the
legislation.
Yeah,
do away with it. But even with that, so you have the employees, that your officers, your dispatchers, these are high stress jobs, right? We already know that. You get someone in there that is drug dependent. Would that be something that would pose a problem? Because I believe it would. We already have some that's already, we have some mental instabilities, you know, that are not taking meds.
Right. But I'm thinking that she, until I read the legislation,
okay.
I'm thinking she was saying safe sensitive, not the people that works in safe sensitive, a safety sensitive position.
Okay. Okay.
I think it's like pre-employment. There won't be given a drug test. Now, a couple of reasons off the top of my head, it could be right now cost. Okay. Then we got so many people like in sanitation, maybe that's not coming to work for whatever reason, or they're getting real sick with the COVID and they're out. And we need people to come in right away to be able to step in, and waiting for a drug test, it takes so long.
Okay.
And all that. But you know what I would rather see? Let me put it to you this way. If you're doing that for that reason and don't want to, and people that, a lot of folks that just need a job but can't pass the drug test because of marijuana, then I would prefer, if you do that, I would prefer that you just to give them a COVID test before they come in, you know, to make sure that they're clean, so that when you're coming into work, you're coming from out the street. I think that's just as important.
I think so.
To be, if you don't want to do a marijuana test or a drug test, give them a COVID test before they come into the workforce to make sure that you are okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about, until I read the legislation, I can't really give my viewpoint how the union, I represent the members, how we would feel about that, because to me, it's kind of discriminatory maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm not an attorney. And then again, it could be, well, what are you going to do about the people that you just fired or just got? Because there's a zero tolerance
right now it is.
A zero tolerance for any of them.
But anybody that's mentally, that's impaired by drugs or anything like that, just think about it. You working next to somebody. We get the calls all the time. They be riding on the substation, on the bus, and they want to kill somebody. And they just happen to be the person next to them or something, and they're off their meds. So you think about bringing, if you're talking about drugs with, depending on the type of drug, but you're talking about employees with these type of issues working alongside of you.
Well, now, hold up. Now there's a difference now. If you got somebody that's talking about killing somebody, they ain't got nothing to do with marijuana. You know, that might be a psychotic situation.
But we've been having the past couple of weekends, they had a person overdose off of marijuana. But it,
how do you dose off of marijuana?
It was laced.
Oh,
but you don't know that.
Well,
guess
I'm
if
just
you,
saying you know that.
So,
I don't know nothing about that.
Yeah, that's what you tell.
But back in the day, in my college days, back in the early 70s, you know, they didn't have all of that stuff. You bought natural herbs.
That's what they call it.
It was herbs. Not all of this. No,
Mary Jane.
They call it marijuana herbs. But, that's something that we really
need
to talk about.
When you just open the door for that, you have to really be careful when you're opening that door.
Yeah, yeah.
She had to have
a rationale, and
Yeah. Unfortunately,
I haven't read it. I will read it, see what the legislation is about. And, you know, we don't get a chance to talk to Mayor Bottoms, unfortunately. I don't know why. With something like that, I would think we should have been at the table. The union could have been at the table to discuss.
Exactly.
That would have been a privilege, but we have not yet had a privilege to speak with her at all.
So with that, we know that she's possibly going to run. Who else do you think?
I'm hearing, I don't know, and I hate to put this out there, but I'm hearing President Moore is going to be running. I saw that. I saw qualified or do your paperwork, and she's going to be running, but that's a long time coming, you know, that that's been in the making for quite some time, and I think she's ready. So then I got a feeling, don't know, can't put it out there, but by this memo from one of the council people, Amir, I'm not sure.
The one that does the newsletter, right?
That sounds like a campaign letter, you know, to me.
It did.
So we really don't know until they come out, you know, officially of all that's going to be running. But whoever's running, Pace, we're definitely going to be knocking at their door to find out what are you going to do for these employees with this pandemic.
Yes.
And we need to find out what's going on. And we need someone that's looking out for these employees as well as the citizens.
Exactly.
Okay? Right. But if you don't have a good group of leadership and employees, your citizens is not going to get what they need to have done.
And they have to remain transparent across the board. I don't care how hard.
Consistent and transparent.
And fair. You have to.
And get leaders in place that know what they're doing and that has concerns and that they don't have a problem with listening to the little people, as we call ourselves, and take our recommendations because we're doing the job.
Yeah, exactly.
And don't get okay, threatened because you got this big title of making these six figures. And then the little people come up and say, well, what you're doing, I don't think is the right way.
And these leaders have got to, I was knowing the ones on city council. So what I was, we just found out which one that works for public safety, the city council for public safety.
Mm-hmm.
All of these ones that are in whatever departments they are, they've got to know the department. That's important to know.
And you know what's not out there that should be there? You bring up a good point.
What?
What's the org chart? What is the city's organizational chart? There is, you know, why can't we as employees see from the mayor down?
You need to know.
Who,
you need
where
to know.
Is, you know.
Because within our departments we have them.
Right. I just, well, HR just sent me, thanks out to, shout out to Danielle Nichols, just sent me, she's the deputy commissioner of HR. I appreciate her response real quickly. She did send me an org chart because I wanted to know for HR who is the directors and who are the HR representatives for each department so we'll know who we're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
And she did do that. But I'm really curious of seeing what is the org chart of the entire city.
All that's information that these employees need to know. It shouldn't be where I ask you, who is your... A lot of them don't even know.
They don't know the chain of command.
They have no idea.
And even though it might be out there, not in a diagram graphic, out online, these employees don't have access to
those.
Or
they
some
just
of them
don't
got
do
an email,
it.
And Katie don't even know how to access their email.
That's correct.
Because training has stopped.
Mm-hmm.
For years ago, we used to have training of stuff like that.
Really?
Just basic, how to get in your email, how to get in the Oracle. How to do that. It used to be mandatory because we mandated everything to go paperless, electronic.
Mm-hmm.
But these folks don't know how to do this stuff because they call me and asking me a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
So I do a lot more than being a union official.
Than
I normally should because we got people in place to do that. But because they're not getting the answers and then pandemic hit and you got key people mm-hmm. that's not working. That's not teleworking either, you know. So I have to, you know, do what I can to help everybody. But that would be something that we need to look into. And I hope whoever becomes mayor, this coming aboard, this or whoever's running for office, one of their contingency plan is to have a good working relationship with the union. Because the union, for the people, the listeners out there, if you're not a member of PACE, you can always email me if you're interested in becoming a member of PACE. I was glad to send your application to join. We are allies. We are a better ally to these city departments than they think we are versus being an adversary. Because I don't come after you. People think it's Gina. I represent the people elected to me as the president of the union. We're a bigger union than just PACE. We are affiliated with the National Association of Government Employees, who is affiliated with SEIU. So we are part of a bigger picture than people think. But if we can settle things at my level, you wouldn't have to worry about a lot of things on anybody else going further up.
Exactly.
So good labor management, bringing a union to the table. I hope even with city council, they've been pretty good, though. City council always lets us come up and do our wish list once a year.
They do.
But I wish that whoever the mayor is going to run this year or this next term, that they bring the union to the table.
And if you want to do your actual applications, you know we have a website now.
Right.
So the website is paceatlanta.wixsite.com.
We're going to send that out. That's just came aboard.
That's
just accolades to us getting there and being more acclimated to the members. And of course, if you join, if any member that wants to bring in a new member, they get $50 bonus enrollment.
Right. That's right.
Once they get on the dues listings, they will be paid $50. That's the little part.
It is.
Money.
It is.
And so I'll say that again, if you're interested in joining and becoming a member of PACE, please, you can email at gpagnotta@atlantaga.gov, or you can go on that PACE website and we will send that out. We're going to go live with that again to our website to let everybody know about it.
Yes.
So what are we going to be doing the next meeting coming up? We're getting wrapping up to about 5 minutes left to four minutes left to our ending of our podcast today. And we talked about, is anything that we forgot to mention about anxiety, stress, depression of the man?
No, that's pretty much
I want to encourage, close out by encouraging you, all the listeners out there, you and your colleagues, please, even down to your family members, to your children, please, please encourage yourself and them to wear your mask. I know it's not mandated. I know it's not required. But we're asking to help save this community, to help save you, to help save others, just to help save lives. Please wear masks. Please wash your hands.
Sanitize.
Spray.
Yes.
Wipe down. And if you need some masks, members out there, we have plenty of masks from the union.
Right. Sure do.
I have been delivering them with bags. We have some bags.
So excited.
Oh, that's
so
exciting.
Excited.
Okay, that we can just call me or email me, say you want a couple of masks, and we'll try to get them delivered to you. They're USA made. The union had them made when pandemic first hit. They sent me some boxes of them. So just let me know what you know if you need some.
Yeah.
So do you have any closing remarks?
I just want everybody to stay safe. If you are signed up to get the vaccine, go ahead and take it. It's not as bad as what you would think. Just stay safe. Wear your mask. Sanitize, like Gina said. Sanitize, stay safe. I've been staying away from my family members just because I'm unsure that I could be carrying something and passing it on to someone else. So, and I know that that's difficult. I know it's hard, but we have to be mindful. Not spending time with them now could give you extra time at the end. So we have to do that.
And even when I leave you, even though we're practicing safe distance and doing everything,
yeah,
I go home and I start tripping. Oh, Lord. And just be prayerful.
Yeah,
you
just
know.
Have to, because you just never, you have to treat everybody as if they have it.
Right.
You really do, to be safe. The last two of the ones that I found out at our job got it, I was really shocked because they were so careful. So I don't know how, you know, so that makes you even think even more like what if we're now they're talking about doubling up your mask.
Yeah, yeah.
What in the
well,
way? It just,
you know,
just doesn't know anymore. So
it's something we're going to have to live with.
Yeah.
And that's why it's important that you do still wear your mask and wash. And if you don't have to go anywhere to socialize, don't go anywhere.
Yeah, don't go.
Do your best. I know it's hard. If we need to start getting a group, just a chat,
Zoom meeting.
Anybody got some ideas out there? You want to have some Zoom meetings
mm-hmm.
or just to talk when you're bored? The Calm app helps you sleep at night.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't sleep at night, get some vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
Vitamin D, vitamin C, take that. I do that. Well, I didn't know I was that bad and deficient with vitamin D
till
I went and got my physical and I was way below the line.
Yeah, they'll tell you.
So
tell you.
They had me on that 50,000 units
once
a week.
Yeah.
And I reached that plateau. I'm good in my numbers, but they want me to
still take
2,000 every day.
Yeah.
So, and I take a vitamin C tablet.
Mm-hmm.
I like the chewable orange kind. And I do that once a day.
Or if you sit in the sun for 15 minutes, that's good as vitamin D.
Right.
It changes your mood.
It really does. But even when you go to the store, just be safe when you go
mm-hmm.
to the stores and come home. I got a friend of mine that even with her mail, I know I'm not, it's funny, but she lifestyles everything down.
Yeah.
I said, don't it get wet? She said, I let it dry out. Because it ain't nothing but bills, no way.
No.
And so, but just be careful out there, you guys.
Yeah.
And next week, we're going to be talking about, you know, mask again. We're going to give you update. This is your platform to listen to what's going on out there, and we'll talk about it.
And if you need to email either one of us, again, my email is emwalton, that's emwalton at atlantaga.gov. You have any questions, concern, anything, and we'll also send you out a link with the website, blog talk, and our email to contact us.
Every Tuesday from 1 to 2, spread the word. I'll try to send out a reminder every day, Monday the day before. And if you need to reach me, I'm at gpagnotta at atlantaga.gov. That's gpagnotta at atlantaga.gov.
And stay safe. Have a good one until the next time we see you. And Gina?
Are we going to eat now before I leave?
We're going to eat, Gina. She always works. She comes over here every week just to eat.
What about a demon to eat? I was losing weight. Now I'm like, what is vitamin D doing to me? I'm just hungry every day. That's
so
why I
again,
think it's just chicken. I was ready to get that chicken.
So, again, you guys, we appreciate your calls. We appreciate the comments, concerns. Until next week, 1 to 2, same time, same place. We'll see you guys then.
Take care. Bye-bye,
Have
everybody.
A good one.